Here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome in H-Town.
What's happening, Houston? If you ain't know, now you know. If you hadn't guessed by now, guess what? Not the Blitz. This is the HD version of the Blitz. That's that dude, Freddie D.
That is that dude.
Yes, sir. And we got working the 1-2s and 3s, T. Scott. Tyler Drew Scott. How are you today?
What up, what up?
It's a little early for us, isn't it?
Yeah. A whole day.
An entire day early. And, of course, that loud, sexy baritone voice that you just heard belongs to none other than 14-year NFL veteran.
It's me.
Over 1,000 career tackles, two-time Pro Bowler, 93.
And a half.
Eisenhower High School stand-up, former All-Pro, the one, the only, Henry Thomas. Mr. Thomas, how are you on a Wednesday?
Hey, man, I am great. You know why? See, you guys thought I was full of energy, you know, on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah, because it's after hump day.
But hump day gives you energy. You got to be energized on hump day.
Got to be, right?
And then we get to sit in for the two great guys that just said, hey, look, we got something to do. We normally don't let you do this. You know what I like best, though? There's a disclosure. A disclaimer before the...
disclosure, disclaimer, whatever you want it to be.
I'm sorry.
Whatever, either one.
There's a disclaimer.
Either works.
And we're covered under that, right?
I actually forgot to play that.
That's all right. You can play it. You can play,
we'll
it,
play
at any
it at
point.
The end of this hour. Yeah.
At any point during the show, you can say that. So welcome into the show. This is the HD show version of the Blitz. Sitting in for the guys. Like I said, Fred's on vacation, and our boy AJ is en route to Vegas, where he will be taking in the Terrence Crawford-Victor Pastol fight that's going to go down on Saturday.
Yeah, under the skies of work.
Well, I mean, he'll have to clock in for a few hours anyway. So, but again, Henry Thomas, it's not work if you love what you do.
Absolutely.
It's not work.
I think you love, you never work a day.
Steve Jobs said that.
Really?
Steve Jobs said that.
Yeah.
Last I checked.
I want all my songs in this little device. That was his job.
That's it.
All you guys go to work.
Do it. Do it now. There you have it. And he's a billionaire because of it, or at least his family is. So, yes, he will be out there. AJ will be out in Vegas tomorrow and Friday. So make sure. Of course, you guys are going to tune in anyway. But like I said, that's where he will be. And I want to say Fred comes back next week.
Yes.
That I don't know. Am I right? Wrong?
Yeah, the 25th.
25th. So he'll be back. He'll be back on Monday. So, but for today, boys and girls, you get your boy Freddie D, the Henry Thomas, and the one and only T Scott on the dot, working the 1-2s and 3s. Who's our intern today?
Brooke.
Brooke.
Have Brooke. We met Brooke before?
Probably not. Probably not. No, because no, we haven't. We get the Rasta Hispanic guy and John. For our interns.
Was that a Rasta Hispanic?
His last name was Sanchez.
Was it
I guess it depends on how you pronounce it. Sam Sanchez.
Oh, there's Brooke. Hello, Brooke.
There's Brooke. Brooke was the one bogarting all the cookies.
That's
on
right.
Monday,
she ate
she
all
was
the
doing.
Cookies
yeah, look
Monday.
At her. She
That's
knows.
Right.
Yeah, you've been dimed out. You've been dimed out, Brooke. So, so we got Brooke answering your phone call, 713-780-3776. First hour, I don't know that we're going to have a lot of time to get to your phone calls. In fact, we won't.
You know,
I'm just going to go and tell you that right now.
Won't you lay it out?
You can call.
Yeah, we'll try to get to
Brooke will answer.
Yeah.
You just ain't going to get on.
I'm told she has a wonderful telephone voice.
I don't know. Never called her.
I heard that. I mean, it's a rumor going around.
Did you hear it like on the phone or did you hear it on the streets?
I heard that on the streets.
The streets are talking.
Like, yeah, you want to talk to someone? You want to relax? Call Brooke.
Listen
and
to
it's
you.
Just, it's like a warm
just got,
bath.
It just got weird all of a sudden. Just got real weird all of a sudden. If you want more weirdness, check out the HD show every Monday and Thursday from 7 to 10. All right, so let's get down to brass tacks, boys and girls. This is we got a jam-packed show for you this afternoon, so let's get down to it. Terrence Crawford, WBO Junior Welterweight Champion, is going to join us in the very next segment. Talk about his big fight coming up over the weekend. It's on Saturday. It's going down in Vegas. The pride of Omaha, Nebraska will be putting up his Junior Welterweight Championship on the the line against Victor Postol. And let's be honest. I mean, this is one of those fight of the year candidates. And I promise you, if you watch this fight, you're going to hear that mentioned several different times between now and Saturday and several times throughout the fight on Saturday. If it lives up to the hype, and I know this much, I've watched Terrence Crawford fight for the last few years, and let's put it this way, Terrence brings it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, I think, one, maybe two of his fights,
yeah.
But I didn't know it was him. You know those sounds when you watch
you
HBO?
Were you watching it blindfolded, or
no,
just
like,
the chirons at the bottom were in a different language?
I was flipping channels,
okay,
and the fight came on, and now that I see him, I was like, I do remember both of those fights, because it made me stop.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a boxing guy anyways.
Right.
But
you're just not a boxing guy that reads the fighters' names.
That would up makes, in the top left corner.
That's what makes right. me a boxer guy, because, you know, I've been hitting the head.
You've been
a
hitting
few
the
times,
head. So even you, know, just, you couldn't make him out. From where you were at, you could not make him out.
But
you just
I
did
turned
not
him
feel
on.
Like,
I tell you what, it was a three-piece combo that he laid out
the
on
the dude
that
looked like him fighting.
Just like that guy right there. And he did a left, left, right, and it was beautiful. And it made me stop.
From what I saw, it looked good.
It was good. Yes, sir.
From what I seen, it looked all right. So Terrence Crawford's going to join us at 4:15.
And I know nothing about Victor
Postol.
Postol.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's why Terrence is coming on, because he's going to tell you about Victor Postol. But I know this much. He's 28-0, and the guy's legit. He's the number two ranked fighter in the junior welterweight class.
Ooh,
obviously, Terrence Crawford's number one. Very rarely do you get a number one, number two showdown, like, say, I don't know, in the middleweight division, where we'd love to see a Canelo Triple G fight, but that certainly is going to happen anytime soon. So in the meantime, all the boxing heads, and after what was a debacle, for all you fight fans out there, when I say fight, I mean whether it's UFC or boxing, after that stupidity that we saw last weekend. Now, stupidity aside, the women were the best fights of the night.
The best fights, exactly,
but
right.
As this as the aftermath of UFC 200 continues to spill out, okay, was anybody really surprised to find out that now all of a sudden Brock Lesnar tested positive?
I don't think anybody was. I mean, why don't you even put the cup there? You can just. You know, swab
just look
their
at
skin.
Him. Just look at him.
Don't even go in and say, hey, fill this up. None of that.
Listen, we got the fat Samoan. I mean,
right.
Why you got to call brother fat?
Why you got to play, hey, Samoan? What's he going to do?
What's he going to do? Fell through that. Fell through a little glass enclosure. Fell through
like
that.
A glass house.
Right. So you had Tony Rockahara fight Brock Lesnar. That was a joke.
Right.
All right.
Then you brought the old guy to mothballs.
Then I was going to say, Silva.
Yep.
Just jumped around and then got laid on for most of the fight in his little yellow bicycle shorts. I didn't know this guy still wore bicycle shorts.
Apparently
he does. He is old school. And mind you, he just had, a gallbladder taken out 2 months ago?
Was it it was a gallbladder.
Something like
yeah,
that.
It was some kind of surgery that
something.
Was. Yeah. I mean, not that
and then,
bad.
Of course, John Jones
had
already been banned. He's looking at another ban for another 2 years. So UFC, tell you what, Ewan McGregor or Colin McGregor, whatever the hell his name is, can't get here fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
Can we have him fight Ronda Rousey? I mean, is that where we're at? That's where we're getting to with the UFC.
Oh,
let's just have those two fight. Seriously. I want to see. I'll tell you
is Ronda going to fight again?
Allegedly.
Really?
I want to see her fight that cyborg chick, but that's another story for another day.
She's come out of the depression.
Nah, she's still feeling some type of way, but she's got a movie coming out, so that should lift her spirits up some.
That does do it. Yeah,
that does do it. It's amazing what a little R&R plus a movie.
Plus a movie.
But you know what? How's she going to be? She's going to be Dalton, right? In Roadhouse? Isn't that what she's going to be?
Sweet.
Yeah, that's right.
Total crap.
Yes, yeah.
Total. Listen, I'm all for reboots. I mean, I'm not, but I am.
But you're not.
But I'm not.
Sam Elliott's in the reboot. I'm cool.
Really?
No.
Sam Elliott's.
No.
Awesome.
How is
he going to
be in the reboot? The last.
He died in the last one. He got the knife
right.
to the. And he got
right.
knifed and. No, no. Even if he brought. You know what?
The
even if they brought
from
him from
Blade?
The dead.
Well,
even
no,
if they,
you're thinking of Chris Christopherson.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
I'm all
old white guys with deep voices. I mean, you've seen one. You've seen them all. Yeah, exactly.
They all look like the Marlboro Man.
They all do. But here's my point in all that. It doesn't matter, even if you brought Chris Elliott back, or Sam Elliott, or either of the Elliotts back, okay? Bring any of them back. I don't care. Bring Sean Elliott back. Any of them. Bring Elliott from E.T. back.
Hey,
I don't care. Patrick Swayze's not in it.
No.
And therein lies the rub.
No, no Roadhouse.
If Dalton isn't in it with his cheesy one line, I mean, he ripped out a guy's throat, for God's sake.
That's right.
Okay? He ripped out his throat at the end. Was it towards
well, it's
the end of the movie?
Yeah. Physically impossible for Swayze to be in the movie.
I get it. That's why there should not be a reboot. Because there's unless, no Swayze. Unless Ronda Rousey is playing his daughter, because he did bone the nurse.
Well, which I was going to say, that top of the
They remade Point Break and he wasn't in it.
And that movie was atrocious. And that movie, listen, you had no Gary Busey. Had no Keanu Reeves. And you had no Patrick Swayze.
It's hard for Keanu Reeves to go back.
Oh, and you had no the Tank Girl, Lori Petty. Okay?
I mean, I can do this all day.
Tom Penn, Sean Penn's brother? He was in it.
Tom Sizemore? No, you're thinking of Tom Sizemore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tom Sizemore was in it? I mean, come on. We're talking about a veritable who's who. God, you're getting, I'm getting all verklempt right here. Okay, so here's the deal. We got Terrence Crawford coming on at 4:15. WBO welterweight champ, junior welterweight champion. He's going to come on and talk about his big fight coming up this weekend. Elliot Harrison from NFL.com. Bold predictions for every AFC team. Very interesting bold prediction. I wasn't as taken aback by his bold prediction for your Houston Texans. And then, for those of you that don't listen to HD Show, we do a little something called Know Your Foe, where we look at all the opponents of your Houston Texans. Today, we're going to take a gander at the Detroit Lions. Jeremy Reisman, SB Nation. There's a leak going on where he's at. SB Nation writer Pride of Detroit is going to join us at 5:15, talk a little bit about these Detroit Lions and what could be expected out of them. It wouldn't be a Wednesday if it wasn't a hump day. And, of course, the inevitable hump day haiku. Oh, your topics are as follows: the Republican convention, Pokemon Go, and the Texans defender who needs to step up, not name JJ or Jadeveon. All right? And our weekly Olympic update as well.
Wow.
All right? I mean, the nonsense never stops. And just when you thought the stupidity at Baylor had stopped, then their new head coach says this. We'll get to all that and more. Plenty to get to, and of course, it wouldn't be a HD show if we didn't have a little yay or nay. It's real simple, boys and girls. We throw something out, Henry Thomas, and it's what?
Yay or nay.
Coming up next, though, let's get right down to it. All this guy's done is clean up the last 28 human beings he's faced, as in put them on the canvas.
There you go.
What does he have planned for Victor Postol next? We'll talk to Terrence Crawford in the very next segment. Don't you go anywhere. He is T. Scott on the dial, working the 1-2s.
And 3.
That's the All-Pro Henry Thomas. I'm that dude, Freddie D. This is an HD show version of the Blitz. Why, Henry Thomas?
Because everything's better in HD.
Time and turning on against one isn't all that's hard to teach. Another clever word.
This is the Blitz.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back in. This is the HD show version of The Blitz here on ESPN 97.5. Without further ado, let's jump out to the Gal Media Hotline and welcome to the phone lines one of the baddest men on the planet. He's 28-0. He's got, without question, his toughest opponent up to date next on Saturday night in Vegas, the one, the only, Victor Postol. Without further ado, the pride of Omaha, Nebraska, one Mr. Terrence Bud Crawford. Mr. Crawford, how are you on a Wednesday afternoon?
What's going on? I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you sound like you're just relaxing, ready, you know, not taking too much in. How's it going, you know, now that you've all prepared for this fight? What are you looking forward to? To get when you step in the ring, what are you thinking right off the bat when the bell first rings? What are you gonna do?
Oh, just be myself. Just go in there and do everything I got to do to get the job done.
Now, this is a guy, Victor Postol, and this was and listen, you got a couple things coming. There's a couple of interesting variables about this fight that's coming up for you on Saturday. One, it's your first ever pay-per-view. It's kind of put you out of your comfort zone a little bit in the sense that you've gone out and maybe done a little more promotional work than you're normally used to. And you've got an opponent in Victor Postol who, let's be honest, outside of your diehard fight fans, not a lot of folks here in the United States know about this dude. What do you know about Victor Postol?
Well, he's tall, he's rangy, he likes to box, and he's a good fighter.
What is it though about? I mean, and you know, whether it's his, you know, the. Let's put it this way: Lundy is the most common opponent that you guys have. What were you able to glean from watching that fight, or let's put it this way, watching that tape and knowing what you know about Lundy that's going to be able to, you know, give you any kind of scouting report for what you're going to see Saturday night?
Well, I don't look at that fight as anything because Victor Postol had got bigger, stronger, and better than the time that he fought Lundy. And I don't like looking at fights like that because just because he fought one opponent one way, that don't mean you're going to fight the other one the same.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You are wrecking shop in the welterweight division. I mean, you're lining them up and knocking them down and letting everybody know, this is my weight class, this is my group. What is making it you such the dominant guy at this weight?
Just me being myself.
That's it?
Me being able to adjust to any opponent and me being able to just fight my fight. Hey, let's go, y'all.
What do you look at? We got Terrence Bud Crawford joining us here on the HD show. So Saturday night rolls around, first pay-per-view fight. The fact that you've had to do more promotional work, has that added any kind of stress or constraints to what your normal build-up to the fight is?
Not at all. It's just part of the game. It's something that you got to get used to.
Now, when you go out on Saturday night, and like I said, the biggest question is going to be the pay-per-view buys and all that good stuff, and obviously that's what separates, you know, maybe not from a, obviously not from a fight perspective, but from a name recognition. A W is obviously what you're after, but clearly you want to generate some buys on this. Go out and do your thing. What is kind of the goal as far as what you hope to achieve outside of the ring with maybe promoting the Terrence Crawford brand a little bit more after Saturday night?
Well, I'm just looking forward to having everybody tune in and take notice of two great champions going head-to-head, belting their undefeated streaks on the line.
Terrence Bud Crawford, junior welterweight champ, WBO style, joins us here on the HD show. You look at Victor Postol's last fight, Lucas Matisse. Matisse was a heavy favorite going into that fight, and he was a guy who basically, I mean, just got overmatched for pretty much the entire fight by Victor Postol. What is it about his style that worries you the most?
Really nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm ready for whatever.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, you are a boxer, so I wouldn't expect any less.
Well, let some of the fans know a little something about you. How did you start boxing? What got you into it? Where did it all begin for you?
Well, I started when I was 7 years old, and the owner of the gym actually lived behind me. And he seen me one day and asked me if I was interested in boxing, and I've been boxing ever since.
Now let me ask you this: you're from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm a Big 12 guy. I don't feel like Nebraska's ever been the same since they left the Big 12 and/or the Big 8. Your thoughts on the Cornhuskers being in the Big 10?
Well, I feel as if we're going to get it back together. You know, we haven't had a coach to do a real tremendous well with recruiting. And I feel once we get coach in and house to bring in some guys that would like to come to Nebraska, then we'll start winning again.
Why is it harder? I mean, what was it about what Nebraska did back in the day under the Frank Soliches of the world, under the Tom Osbornes of the world? Bo Pelini wasn't able to recreate it. And I'm going to be honest with you, your boy from Mike Riley, I don't see him getting a lot of people excited about Nebraska football again.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know. You got to get people excited to come to Nebraska and play. You know, they got to want to play for the coach. If we don't get that significant coach, then ain't nobody going to want to come and play.
Did you ever envision or have any dreams of being a Nebraska football player?
I played football. But I was too short and too little at the time, so I continued to box and play basketball. And I was too short for basketball, so I went back to boxing in high school.
So you figured if you couldn't play basketball, you just knock all the basketball players out?
No, I'm pretty good in basketball, but at the same time, I know my lane.
That's
Well, we'll get you out of here with this, Terrence, because you're ready to go. You got the weigh-in on Friday, the big fights on Saturday. Give us a prediction of, you know, I've watched you fight. I know what to expect. I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I don't know a whole lot about Victor Postol, but I've watched you fight. Real quick question, too. While you were fighting Yorkis Gamboa, did you have any inclination to want to knock out 50 Cent at any time during that fight?
Not at all. 50's cool.
All right, just making sure. Cause, I mean, he drugged that whole thing out with Gamboa out forever. And I think
he was supposed to.
I feel like Gamboa might still be on the canvas from as many times as you laid him out that fight. Going into Saturday night's fight, what are fight fans that don't know about Terrence Crawford? Like I said, I know what to expect on Saturday night. I'm expecting, a little power from you somewhere in the seventh or eighth round. What are the folks that have never seen Bud Crawford step in the ring? What can they expect to see on Saturday night?
Fireworks.
Are we predicting a KO?
I don't predict KOs. I just predict me going out there and work.
Roger that. I appreciate it, my man. Well, listen, best of luck to you. You got your fight face on, no question about it. You got the HD show mojo. We're looking forward to it. Our boy Jamal Charlo was on the night before he went out against, who the hell did he fight that weekend?
He and his brother fought that weekend.
His brother fought that weekend. They got the HD show mojo, and guess what? They're co-champions. We expect to hear the same thing from you. Good luck on Saturday night, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Appreciate it.
There you have it. The one, the only, Terrence Bud Crawford. The pride of Omaha, Nebraska.
I mean, he's into his Omaha football.
All right, is he
too
off the line? Damn. Woo! Terrence.
Terrence is ready to go to work.
I mean, it's
Terrence is ready to go to work. He was like, look, I ain't got no frills for y'all. I got no fun. We not in here laughing and joking right now.
It took me I like to mix it up with my guests and at least get a crack a smile or something.
He was ready
to
work.
He did chuckle at the 50 Cent comment.
Yes,
I probably should have thrown that out at the beginning of the interview.
You might want to lead with that.
But I had no idea that, tell you what, his chin's a lot like
an uphill battle the whole way.
His chin's a lot like his personality, though.
Strong.
Tough to crack. Tough to crack. I'll put it to you that way. So there you have it. Tell you what, let's mix it up. I'm not a big fan of doing back-to-back interviews, but today it is what it is. Coming up next, Elliot Harrison from the NFL Network is going to join us, and I can promise you it will be a much more entertaining and uplifting interview than what we hear with our boy T. Crawford. But hey,
T. Crawford ready to go to work.
T. Crawford's in a zone right now.
He's ready to go to work.
T. Crawford is in a zone.
He's like, it's Wednesday.
He's
dialed
in.
Friday. Look, he probably laying there saying, man, that guy's talking to me. I'm hungry. I got to make my way.
Yeah, I'm just ready to eat. I'm ready to get laid.
Get some water.
Just get me to the fight. But at the very least, let's talk some football. Let's have some fun. Elliot Harrison, NFL Network, joining us next. Don't you go anywhere. He is T. Scott on the Dot. That's the All-Pro Henry Thomas. I'm that dude, Freddie D. This is ESPN
97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what.
You recovering? You making it back?
No, I'm good.
You good?
I'm always good.
All right, cool. Glad to hear.
At least the 50 Cent comment.
You got a chuckle out of it. You did. I mean,
That's it.
I mean, it was tough.
Well,
like pulling teeth.
Well, he wants no part of. There's something funny, and I'm gonna go ahead and just make this prediction right now. There's something funny going on behind the scenes with this whole fight, I believe, because Kevin Ioli, who is one of the best when it comes to covering the fight game, actually wrote an article. Remember, I told you. What did I tell you before we did this? Before we did that interview,
he said it's gonna be a tough interview.
All right. He's talking about how a oddly detached Terrence Crawford is set to headline his. And we're going to our boy Elliot. Let Brooke know. 4:45 is when we're going to do Elliot. So
yes.
Roger that. So it was. he doesn't want to be there. Let's put it this way. You've got a he's headlining his first fight or his first pay-per-view fight, all right? And he's headlining his first pay-per-view fight. He's fighting a what's that? What are you talking about?
You said 445 or 345?
Four.
345 wouldn't work because right. We're not on the air at 345, so we're going to do it at 445.
Something totally different. Sorry to train wreck you.
It's all right.
Maybe that beer's pulling on your brain stems.
It's all right.
I think.
Yeah, getting a little long over there.
You know, as my colleague and friend Henry Thomas likes to say, I haven't been in many setups, but the ones I have. No, tell her we'll call our boy Elliot next segment.
No, he just called in.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, for real, for real? Well, damn, let's do it.
Returning a phone call. We'll see what.
You know what? This is live radio, gentlemen.
Let's do this.
And ladies. What are we doing? What's he want
to
do?
Are you ready to go or not?
Let's get him on. The hell with it. We'll talk. You know what? We're just going to run long because that's what we do. That's what we do.
Hey, and it's your fault, Tyler.
It is your fault.
You can't blame us on this
one. No. I blame Terrence Crawford. But what are you going to say? He's good. I tried to make a joke about his basketball, and that didn't work either.
I'm pretty good.
All right, without further ado, let's pick the. You know what? Let's pick the spirits up, and let's pick the pace of the show back up. Without further ado, the one, the only, a native Texan. You've seen him on NFL.com. The one, the only, Mr. Elliot Harrison. Mr. Harrison, how are you on a Wednesday afternoon?
You know, I'm really good, and I'm glad you mentioned the native Texan because I got Cowboy fans telling me I'm anti-Dallas. And then Texans fans, because I made one little joke about Houston one time, think that I hate the city of Houston. And
why?
I got to tell you.
What'd you say?
Hey, don't joke about Houston.
What'd you say?
I was just taking a road trip with my mom, and we were going to actually stay the night in La Porte.
God bless you.
Yes. And we decided to go to Brenham instead. How about that? So there you go.
I mean, listen, 6-1, half a dozen to another, LaPorte and Brenham. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one of those lovely places.
Not Houston, though.
Hey, listen. Now, you're from – I think I read somewhere where your brother went to Rice, right?
That's right. He ran track there. Actually, my one brother went to UT and the other one went to Rice.
You meant cross country, right?
I'm a North Texas Mean Green myself.
Oh, see, you guys got it covered, man. Yeah. Who's the smartest one, then? Is he the smartest one because he went to Rice?
Oh yeah, you know what his major was? This is my favorite.
What's that?
First of all, my brother ran Rice with a mullet, but ran track with a mullet, which is funny enough.
Good for him.
Physics major.
Physics.
A what kind of physics?
Space physics.
Space, not just any kind of physics. Space physics. What's he do now? Is he over at NASA?
No, he actually he interned there. He lives in Germany. Actually, with his wife. There you go.
And you cannot disclose what exactly he's doing over there. You know what? I'm not mad at you for that. I am not mad at you for that. Listen, the fact that you've got a brother who ran with a mullet, who's now doing we can't discuss in Germany. You almost stayed in La Porte and opted to go to Brenham of all places instead. We're already off to a much better start at this interview than we did with Terrence Crawford, who basically gave us two word answers the entire time. And you know how you've been in this business long enough to know two word answers are always a good sign that the interview's going well. Without further ado, bold predictions for every AFC team. I'll be honest with you. I was expecting something more bold from you when it came to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, man. I'm doing 30, so I do this thing called the All 32 five, six times a year. And the whole point is just to have something for every fan base, you know, in one article. And the Texans, I was really struggling. And because I just felt like Brock Osweiler falls flat on his face was not bold. It was too easy.
Right.
And I just don't believe in Lamar Miller running for 1,800 yards. I know everyone's so quick to get rid of Arian Foster and think Lamar Miller's the savior. I don't see it that way.
Really?
And my editor threw it out there that, hey, you know, everyone just kind of anoints J.J. Watt, the defensive player of the year. And I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, I really don't think he's going to win. And I just don't see him having the huge year that he normally does. And given his recent history, I think that's somewhat bold.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I I'm not to just say that it's not completely bold. I'll tell you what would have been bold to me is if you'd have said Jadeveon Clowney has double-digit sacks.
That's a great one.
Would have been bold.
Doggone it. All right.
Hey, listen.
You know what? That one is that's solid. Boy, you know, how different would that team be? If that guy was either he hasn't been completely healthy, or the part of the game to slow down for him hasn't come on yet. Because, man, the Texas defense is already good. It's already good. And if they can run the football with Lamar Miller, they could play clock ball, suppress scoring, and they don't need Brock Osweiler to be throwing the ball 40 times a game.
No, they don't. And we got Elliot Harrison from NFL Network joining us here on the HD show. The thing about Jadeveon Clowney, and Henry and I were out at training camp last year. So, you know, he's coming off of microfracture surgery, and, you know, he's on the side fields kind of, you know, getting back into shape and all that kind of stuff. And he's one of those guys that you look at him, and listen, you've been around this game a long time, but there's certain guys that when you look at him, even from an NFL athletics perspective, you look at him and go, my God, this dude, I mean, literally, he looks like a stunt double for Predator. I mean, he really, truly does. The guy's just a freak among freaks. And so we said last year that if this guy could get it together, this team was going to go deep in the playoffs with whoever you decided to stick at quarterback. Now, what you said, though, that I'm a little intrigued by is that you don't expect much out of Lamar Miller. Why not?
Well, I have a couple things for you. First of all, I'll get to Lamar Miller in just a second. But when you said that he looks like a Predator, I was hoping that one of you guys, of course, would say, do it! Kill me! Yeah! Do it now! He didn't do that. It's fine. But Lamar Miller, you know, we were just talking about him today. I'm on a HQ on NFL Network in the morning, and we had Michael Fabiano on, who's like our fantasy guru, and he's got Lamar Miller just going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs this year, monster season. And, you know, I just pointed out, the guy's played, I believe, 61 career games, 48 of them start, and only one time has he carried the ball over 20 times. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, that means he doesn't have tread on his tires, or what else would you hear about that? The Dolphins just didn't give him the opportunity. Well, is it that the Dolphins are just stupid, or is there maybe something else there? For example, not every running back is built to be a 25-carry guy. And I can already hear people saying, yeah, well, apparently – Arian Foster wasn't either, because look at the beating he took. Actually, most of Arian Foster's problems to me were musculature and ligament-wise and not from taking a pounding. And so I just don't know if Lamar Miller is going to be the kind of guy that's capable of having a 300-carry Maurice Jones-Drew in his prime, you know, Adrian Peterson kind of workload. That's the only thing I'm down on him for.
Well, and Elliot Harrison from NFL Network joins us here on the HD show. And this is what I would say when it comes to Lamar Miller. He's what? He's going into what? His fourth NFL season. He's what? 25 years old. And I'm with you on the sense that, you know, a lot of what happened to our boy Arian Foster was, like you said, or as his own owner pointed out, soft tissue. Anytime your owner is calling you out for having soft tissue injuries, you know it's not going to end well. That, and I don't think he appreciated the he's an atheist comment, especially down here in the heart of Texas. But let's be fair for just a hot minute. We're talking about a Miami Dolphin team that has not won double-digit games since 2008.
And you asked, were they smart? Were they not smart? And, I mean, look at
they're
some of the moves.
Smart. That's not a smart football. I mean, let's be honest. The biggest story out of Miami in the last decade and a half has been, you know, Dan Marino going broke and his out-of-wedlock children and the bullying scandal. I mean, that's really what you think of right now when you think of the Miami Dolphins.
I don't know. I think of Cleo Lemon. Sorry. I smell what you're stepping in, man. I get it. You know what? I'll be honest. I'm a little bit of a Foster fan. I feel like the guy's kind of taking a beating for being hurt. And you got to remember, I work with all players.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you
and
do.
So at least when I'm on the network, not writing. And look, these guys, I see what they put their bodies through. Look, I worked next to David Carr all football season. Every Tuesday we did a show together. David, was what he went through fair? No. There's no way with that line. You know. And so with Foster, I've had soft tissue injuries. It's really frustrating. Look, I think people forget how good this guy was.
No, he was.
I mean,
yeah, but
as an undrafted guy. just insane. It's insane, the numbers he put up.
Insane is a good word, because some of the things that he did after he put up some great numbers was insane. I mean, I'm vegan, and then I'm Buddhist, and then I'm this.
He kind of helped him say, when he signed the big contract, and again, no one's going to begrudge a man for getting his cheddar, and we're all for that. But what Arian did was go Mr. Aloof on everybody, which is fine when you're putting up silly numbers, but then he just kind of went off the grid, which is fine, but when you're not producing, listen, you're a Texan. You're a Texas guy, all right? I mean, this is a little bit different way of life down here. And you know, he's over here, you know, first he's and then he's atheist, and then he's vegan, and then he starts getting hurt. Oh, and then he's on TMZ. Yeah, he's tweeting out what books he's reading, and then he's giving these really, really bizarre interviews after games. He just took a different route that was like, wait a minute. This is the guy that we loved when he was an undrafted free agent, was putting up, you know, 1,700 yards and scoring touchdowns, you know, and was a fantasy monster. And then all of a sudden he gets his cheddar, and now the guy can't stay healthy. He did put together two or three good years after that, but he kind of, like I said, taking away nothing from Arian Foster. I'm with you. I think the guy, for what he was able to do for a 5-6 year, it was to me, it was like another Priest Holmes is what he did, essentially. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's a great comparison, man. I mean, gosh, we could go. If you want to go most underrated players of all time, I put Priest Holmes number one.
Absolutely.
I get what you're saying, because we want our football players in Texas, and by we, I mean the mass collective. You know, obviously, a lot of us look past this, but we want them like Brandy White and Earl Campbell.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
That's exactly
And that's
or J.J.
not
Watt.
What this guy was.
Yes.
Yeah, or like J.J. Watt, because here, I mean, I'll tell you what, you want to talk about a guy that can do no wrong. J.J. Watt owns the city of Houston right now, and rightfully so. I mean, listen, this guy's been arguably one of the most dominant defensive players for the last 3 or 4 years in NFL history. Now, the question that's on everybody's mind, and again, it's going to come down to the offensive line, which I think it's maligned much more than it should. I don't think the offensive line for the Texans was all that bad last year, given what they've had to go through over the last couple seasons with the, you know, turnstile at quarterback. Brock Osweiler, we've talked to several people. The question's going to be, you know, listen, why do we not think that if Bill O'Brien can take 8 different quarterbacks in a quarterback-driven league, still win 18 games, still take a team to the playoffs, why are we not convinced that a guy who's been under the tutelage of you know, Peyton Manning, John Elway, and now he's going to go with Bill O'Brien, why do we not think that he cannot be at least serviceable enough to get this team 9-10 wins, especially when you look at the defense they've got?
Yeah, you know, I'm not against you there, and I like the fact that you use the word maligned. I only hear that word when people talk football. That and getting off the track, or getting untracked. No one ever says getting untracked about anything but football. I'm curious how that came about. But I see what you're saying. There's one guy you left out there. You know, for all these quarterback gurus, I don't think Gary Kubiak gets enough credit.
No, he doesn't. I'm with you on that. He doesn't.
He is able to design an offense that and instill confidence in his players. I mean, look what Matt Schaub has done since he left the Texans, and look what he did, what was it, 2009 and 2010? You know, so to me, I think Osweiler has had wonderful mentors, as you pointed out. My only concern for Houston right now is that's a lot of changes on offense, all if prospectively for the good.
Yeah.
But you got a new WR2, right, in the draft.
Yes.
You got a new center, got a new tailback, got a new quarterback. I mean, that's a lot of guys that on paper, it's kind of like what people are expecting from the Giants with their new free agency filled defense. You know, it doesn't always gel right away. And I look at Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's not going to be anybody's pushover. Tennessee is going to run the heck out of the football. And then the Colts, although I think the Colts are weaker than in years past.
I agree.
You can easily make the argument the Colts have the best quarterback in the division. So
Houston's
trip to getting 9-7 or 10-6 may be a little bit more difficult, even if they're a better football team.
Well, let me ask you this, and we'll get you out of here with this. I'm not sold on Rob Chudzinski and Brian Schottenheimer as the collective quarterback co-op minds that are going to suddenly resuscitate Andrew Luck. I'm a big believer that this guy has not been the same since Bruce Arians was in charge. Yes, he's a freak of nature, and he's arguably the best quarterback that's come out of the draft in the last half decade. But I'm not sold on Chud and Brian Schottenheimer as being the minds that are going to get this guy back to snuff.
Well, you say you're going to get me out of here. What if I don't want to leave? What if I stayed on for an hour straight talking about small Texas towns like Brenham? Andrew Luck, boy, I tell you what, I don't know if you guys play fantasy, but I'd be drafting him high. Because okay. I look at that Colts defense, and, you know, I used to get on Andrew Luck about the turnovers, and I've definitely heard the whispers about Schottenheimer and whether or not he's the right guy, but you know, part of having turnovers is feeling like you got to do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
And while Cam Newton certainly has been able to do it by himself like he did last year, there are also games where Cam Newton goes out there and says, okay, I know if I give my team a 20-6 lead, there's a good chance we're going to be able to hold it because their defense is pretty good too. Indianapolis, I don't trust them. It's the same thing to me as New Orleans. I mean, Drew Brees goes out there, guys. He thinks, I got to put 30 on the board.
Yeah.
If I don't put 30 on the board, we lose. Well, guess what? That's too much pressure. And so I hate that for Andrew Luck. The number one thing, though, that can be done for Andrew Luck can only come at the hands of Andrew Luck, which is to get out of the way sometimes, man. Live to play another down. Don't get out there like a running back. You know, but take a page out of Russell Wilson's playbook and know when to throw the ball away or just to step out of bounds. I mean, Luck has taken some shots. I mean, serious shots. You just can't do that anymore.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Are you still in that women's writings class that you talked about?
That was the best class ever. Don't even think about making fun.
No, I'm not. You said it was a humongous class for you, so I'm trying to find one here in Houston.
Hey, man, that was the best thing that ever happened. Being 20-something years old in a writing class with women that are about 50 and about 5 billion times smarter than you about everything is super helpful. That's my recommendation for all your listeners today. You're welcome.
There you have it. You have it. At Harrison NFL, correct?
That is correct.
When are we going to see your mug on the TV next?
Tomorrow morning at, let's see, your Central time, so 6 a.m. Central.
6 a.m. Right. Central, early rising out there on the left. That's it. All right, check it out. Elliot, great stuff from you, my man. Let's do this again when the football season starts for
absolutely,
real.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You bet, man. Great talking to you guys.
All absolutely. Right. There you have it, everybody. We got to get the hell out of here, huh?
Yeah,
are we running a little late?
Up against it. Are we up against it? Let's go.
All right, a couple things he said about Lamar Miller that I thought, I disagree with a bit. What are they? We'll tell you next. That's the one only T. Scott giving me ugly looks. He's Henry. I'm Fred. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
Why are you so fat? Cause you wouldn't give a guy like me no rap. But she was walking down the street, so I said, hello, I'm Gango from the T.O. And she's so, I said, so.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
That's a good one right there.
Huh?
That's a good one right there.
What?
Come on.
What?
UTFO? What? Back in the day.
No, but half of Houston's like, huh? Who? What?
All of Houston are going. They just jamming right now.
Half of Houston's going, more cowbell and more Elliot Harrison, please. And that's how you bounce back from a horrible Terrence Crawford interview. Is you do a 17-minute long interview. Was that 17 minutes, give or take? I think it was right at 17 with Elliot Harrison. But he was money.
It
was a good interview.
I mean, even if he was wrong on a couple of things.
Misguided.
Misguided. Misguided. Absolutely wrong. The Miami Dolphins are not smart. No, they're not.
No, they're not
they're
smart
not
at all.
That's
not a smart franchise at all. There's nothing smart about the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Let me just real quick. Since 2008, the last time they made the playoffs, they were 11-5 that year. That was the year that Tom Brady went down broke his knee, right? So they lost a wild card. Your boy Tony Sparano was the head coach that year. Since then, they've gone respectively 7-9, 7-9, 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 6-10.
Yeah. Underwhelming.
That's a bad, poorly run NFL franchise right there for your Miami Dolphins. So, you know what's funny is, you know, we had Russell Baxter on Monday.
Right.
And he is geeked about our boy Lamar Miller.
Absolutely.
And then we have our boy Elliot on today who's not geeked about Lamar Miller.
But he's not going to be able to run the ball that much. He's not going to be able to do it. There's a reason why. Yeah, because Miami's stupid.
And we didn't have enough time to get into it, but when he said that, you know, what worries him is all the turnover, that's all the Texans have been in the last 2 years. This is actually, I mean, I get it. Yeah, you're going to have a different running back, but guess what? You've got a game changer at running back now in Lamar Miller, all right? Wide receiver two.
And turnover, you meant different people coming in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, you said turnover, and you're talking football.
They haven't been too bad at that, exactly. Really, at turning the football over. Exactly. But no, you're exactly right to clarify that personnel. But turnover at quarterback? No. The fact that you know going into this season that it's Brock and Brock on Brock on Brock on Brock.
And we're sitting there thinking it's Brock, not going in, who's it going to be?
Yeah, there's no is it Brian Hoyer or Ryan?
Yeah. Which turd rides higher?
That's sound of an alarm clock. That's sound of an alarm clock of our boy Ryan Mallett. Is he still in Baltimore, by the way? Do we know?
T. Scott, do you know that?
I do not know that.
Ryan, if you're listening, 713-780-3776. Chime in. Let us know if you are still with the Baltimore Ravens.
Hey, I heard training camp started today for rookies. Didn't training camp start today for rookies? Most rookies around the league? I think so.
Not sure.
I feel as though that's hogwash.
Okay.
I feel as though that's hogwash.
That's how you're going to be. Jason
Montgomery, one of my trusted dispatchers from Cayman Cargo, sends me a text, Brock MVP. No, Brock is not going to be your MVP.
But
all you need from Brock is consistency and a little bit of continuity at the position. I guess continuity and consistency are the same thing. But you know what? Instill some confidence in the offense that you know what you're doing, and this team is going to be all right. We're going to be all right. 1 hour in the books. That is T. Scott on the dot. We're going to 1-2s.
And 3s.
We got our girl Brooke answering your phone calls, but nobody's called, so hey, that's okay with me. That is the All-Pro Henry Thomas. I'm that dude, Freddie D. He burst onto the scene last year, but I'm going to tell you what. You better be ready because now the expectations really are on this guy. Who is it? We'll tell you who it is next. Don't you go anywhere. This is the HD show for the Blitz on a Wednesday, Henry Thomas.
Because everything's better in HD.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
ESPN 97.5.